Hello and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomist Ray, the president of the board of directors at Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS, and the host of The Preservationists. Thank you for tuning in. For the next few episodes of The Preservationists, we will be talking with people who work in the historic preservation field. We'll explore the diverse careers that help keep our architectural heritage alive. Whether it's plaster, stained glass, stonemasons, or carpenters, we'll get an inside look at all the behind-the-scenes work that gets done by skilled professionals that are dedicated to preserving our history. Listen in as we uncover the passion, techniques, and stories behind the people who ensure our historic sites stand the test of time. Today, I'm joined by Simo Ranta, who specializes primarily in painting. Simo, thank you for joining me today. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Simo, would you be able to share with our listeners a little bit about some background in your profession as a painter?
I started painting for myself in 2002. That's when I started my business. Probably had 3 years prior to that before I started my business.
And what originally got you into painting? What inspired you to get into this type of career?
I used to work for Parks and Recreation for on and off back in high school, and we did painting, and it was interesting. And then my neighbor Gary Brown, like from my dad's house, he was a well-known painter around here, so I worked for him for probably a few years, and then ended up kind of going on my own after that, and kind of where it all started.
And in the very beginning of your career, how did you acquire the skills that you specialize in?
Yeah, I mean, I learned from Gary Brown's the one that taught me everything I knew at the time, but I definitely have messed up my fair share of projects in time. There's the learning part was done probably solely by myself, like doing stuff for free, learning how. I mean, that's just what you do. People make mistakes and learn.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the type of skills, is it primarily painting, or do you specialize in any other exterior things?
Oh, absolutely. You can't really find any contractors anymore, but yeah, it's anything from interior trim, doors, exterior, some like light, more concrete. It's kind of a mix of everything. Whatever needs to be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of another thing that you messed up and learned along the way, but yeah, I mean, primarily painting, but or coatings, I guess to say, but yeah, do a little bit of everything.
Yes, and being in your profession for as long as you've been doing it for, you have collected so many different experiences and projects that you've worked on. And one of those projects that you did work on was the carriage house by the Flavel Museum. It's that house next to the Flavel house is that carriage museum. You did the repainting of the exterior of that. Can you tell me a little bit about how that experience was and what that process was like for you? Because that has a lot of rich history and it's historically significant to this area. And it's also just a beautiful, unique building that we have here in Astoria.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I remember growing up, like, looking at some of these old projects and going, oh, that's pretty cool, you know. And it's kind of funny, like, well over 20 years ago, like, you're looking at those, like, you know, those are amazing projects to be working on, and then now I'm doing them. Like, the carriage house being one, the Oddfellows building being another one. And I feel privileged to be working on those buildings. I don't know. It's kind of weird, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of get that perspective because I personally grew up here, so I always see these buildings, and it's interesting to see the transformation of them, and you know, seeing how well they look after you know getting the repair and the restoration of that. Are you originally from this area as well?
Yep.
Okay. Great. Awesome. So, in the time of your painting projects, There's several factors to consider when you're first beginning a project. And as we mentioned before, you worked on the carriage house. And I was curious to know, what is that process like when you're first beginning the work? How do you know what colors are going to be chosen, or the paint scheme, and even the placement of where you're putting the paint? Is there a specific process that you normally go through when you're first beginning a project? Are they chosen for you? Is this something that you kind of scope out and, you know, recommend or suggest? What's your process like?
Honestly, like the carriage house, they already had all the colors picked out. They already chosen when it got painted over 20 years ago. They had faded out so bad that the colors that you see on it now were actually the original colors, and that was already a done deal. So it was, kind of weird to look at it that way, but that was pretty easy. But as for other jobs, I try to stay out of it, because if I get into colors, then I get in trouble, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask is, given with that being said, when you start working on doing some of these painting projects, do you ever discover any hidden features or find anything that's really cool or interesting? Is there any, like, hidden artifacts that you ever have discovered while working on any of your painting projects?
I wish. I've never found anything like gold bars or anything like that, but the only cool thing we ever found was when we're doing demolition work for the Fort George, we found an old map down there. Chris's cousin Vinny and Vinny and I found it, and it was an old map, and that was about the coolest thing I ever found. It was Louisiana Purchase, like, it was an old school map, and they said finders keepers, so we kept it and we sold it and made a little bit extra side money off of it, and it was a good deal. But that's the only cool thing I ever really found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the level room.
Yeah, the upstairs on the level building.
Nice. And what was it like to work on that project? Because that was done a while ago.
Yeah, I don't even remember the year. That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. What was your role in that preservation effort? Were you doing the painting, or what type of work were you doing on that?
It was pretty much demolition and sandblasting, media blasting, because it was painted from floor to walls to ceiling, all the beams, ceiling, wall, brick walls, everything. And then after that was done, pretty much paint, coatings. I don't know, a little bit of stuff in between, but basically that was kind of the go.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see those restoration efforts take place, always. Now, Simo, in your day-to-day work as a painter, working on all these historical buildings, structures, you know, houses, so many different variety of things, I imagine that there's a lot of different tools and techniques that you have to do. What are some of those types of tools that you have to use in your day-to-day work?
Yeah, I mean, there's different tools for different jobs, for sure. Like the carriage house, there's stripping paint off of old wood down to raw wood. It's like, yeah, you have carbide tools to do that, or something of that nature anyway, diamond wheels or whatever. Every job's different, I guess. It's kind of hard to explain.
Exactly. And then, do you ever have to work on modern structures, or do you typically only do, like, historical structures and sites and buildings?
I'm kind of all over the place, I guess. I kind of started doing older houses when I first started my business, and then I got into doing more commercial work, and then maybe newer houses, everything in between, doing some more light industrial work, and got into doing cabinets. Kitchen cabinet and whatnot. It's just anything to do with coatings, I guess. Epoxy tables for bars, a lot of those. And now it's kind of going back to kind of where we started out, was working on old historic buildings, I guess.
When you think about working on a project with an old historical building, how does it compare to past projects? Like, let's say you did, like, a modern structure Is there a significant difference or change that you have to do when you're working on this? Like, is it similar? Is there something that's a little different? You know, how did those intertwine?
You're talking like new to old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's. I think there's easier ways to get things done nowadays on older buildings that I guess we didn't have back then. Yeah, everything, every job's just different. It's just hard mm-hmm. to explain, but every job is way different than the next one.
We'll return to our interview with Simo Ranta, a local painter who works in the historic preservation field, in just a moment. But first, I'd like to invite you to this month's Topics in Preservation. Topics in Preservation is a monthly discussion and conversation hosted by the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS. This month's topic is Historic Hardware and Odd Things, which is a show-and-tell event this time around. If you have some cool or interesting historic hardware or tools, this is your chance to show them off or get help identifying what they are. Join us at 6 p.m. at the LCPS office on the corner of 12th and Duane, the first floor of the Hotel Elliott. Bring your questions, comments, advice, and stories. This is a free event open to the public, and we hope to see you there. Join the conversation on Wednesday, November 20th at 6 p.m. on 389 12th Street in downtown Astoria. And just as a reminder, there will be no LCPS Presents for the month of December. However, we will be back in January, so I'd like to pass the microphone over to my fellow board member, Eric Wheeler, to tell us about the January LCPS Presents event.
Hello, I'm Eric Wheeler. I'm a board member of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society. Please join us on Tuesday, January 14th for LCPS Presents, a program on the Finnish national saga, the Kalevala. Our presenter is Greg Jacob. Greg is an Astoria native and is very active in several organizations celebrating Finnish culture and history. Join us for the story of the Kalevala on Tuesday, January 14th at 7 p.m. at the Pacific Distillery on Astoria's waterfront.
Thank you so much, Eric. Now, back to Simo. I wanted to ask you, how often do you have to collaborate in your day-to-day work working on these historical buildings? Do you often have to talk with local historians, or how involved are the building owners or homeowners themselves in the process? Like, for example, what was the experience like with the Oddfellows building?
Yeah, I mean, I throw up my idea on that building. Yeah, I definitely threw up some of my ideas, and Andrea, you know, she threw up her ideas, and that's what we ended up with was the purple building.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it sounds very collaborative. What's your perspective on seeing the before and after of preservation efforts that you've worked on?
I mean, it's nice to see a building that's been, I won't really say neglected for over 100 years, but something that's been well overcoated with coatings and that are bubbling off and doing whatever else, and then taking that off and looking like you're literally looking at the wood that was raw wood that was not looked at for well over 100 years, and then recoating it just looks so much better, pristine, clean, no bubbles, or you could tell it's this brand new paint and it's just clean looking.
Yeah, it's always nice to see a building before and after it's been restored and preserved. It's just a beautiful difference. Now, Simo, one thing that you had mentioned earlier in the interview is when you first started off in your career, you were primarily working on historical buildings and structures and sites. I was curious to know what influenced you to want to work on historical buildings. Was there anyone that specifically influenced you to want to pursue this route?
There was. It's kind of funny. There was a guy, Jason Kang. He came here and he was doing paint removal back when I first got started too, and like, it's kind of funny because both of us were doing it at the same time, and obviously he did a lot. He was doing a lot higher profile jobs than I was at the time, but yeah, I mean, that's kind of who influenced me on doing it more was Jason Kang, and he used to strip them with torches, and you can't do that anymore. Federal government won't let you do that, but...
Mm-hmm. Is stripping with torches like actual torches?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he used to torch paint off with heat. And it's illegal to do now.
Yeah. And then, so how do you normally do it then now, like modern days? You have to like buy like a scraper or?
They have plenty of different tools out there. They have carbide tools that are grinders that work real efficiently. And they also have diamond wheels that work real efficiently that'll hook up to like a HEPA vac system. And I think that's a lot better route to go, but there's just some things you cannot get and do with those. So there's no right tool to do everything, I guess. Mm-hmm. A torch was the right tool, but it's just kind of nasty. It's not a good practice to do.
Was there any project that you approached and you were like, I don't know how to even like begin with this one? You know, is there any experiences like that ever? Or for the most part, is it pretty straightforward on like what you want to do and like, you know, the vision of it? Like, does anything ever change halfway through?
Honestly, the only thing that I find that's difficult is the landscape. I mean, I don't like to get on ladders too much. And I guess if you have scaffolding, you're all right. Like, I mean, that's probably the best way to do it is contain it with scaffolding. But I don't know. I guess it's landscape. That's what makes it difficult. Like, I think the building itself isn't really going to be, it's going to take some time, but, the setup around the land, cause we have so many hills here and whatnot and close to other houses, you don't want to make a mess or just make a mess in the ground and contaminate it. So the containment and landscape is probably the hardest part of doing it.
Is there any common challenges that you face in your day-to-day work doing painting for historical buildings and projects?
Yeah, I mean, there always is something that comes up, but that's exactly what happens. It just comes up and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when you first began your career in preservation, did you always have the mindset of wanting to start your own business? How did that all come into play?
I just knew I wasn't going to go to college. Like, I couldn't afford it. So I was just like, oh, you know, I'm just going to start my own business. And I just thought, well, I don't mind doing it. It's kind of fun and enjoy it. And then one thing led into another. And here I am a lot longer down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when people are starting out and, you know, if you were to go back and give somebody advice that wants to pursue a similar career in historic preservation, you know, they have their own thing going. Is there any pieces of advice that you would give them or anything you would say that could be a specific skill or quality that they may have?
It's tough at first, for sure. You're going to mess jobs up. I'm not saying everybody is. I sure did, but I don't know. It's a bit of a road. It's just something you have to have passion for, I guess, and deal with consequences and rewards. That's basically all I really have to say about it, because I've dealt with both, and I've been on my ups and downs, and I'm more on the up and up now. I mean, I've messed up enough in my life to be where I'm at now, and I try not to make those mistakes anymore.
Yeah, understandable. And, you know, one thing that I did want to touch base on is, what is the most rewarding aspect of your career? Is you get to work on a lot of really, really cool projects, and you get to be a part of the behind-the-scenes work and the process of how all of these things come into place. Is there a specific part of your career that you feel is the most rewarding for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always rewarding seeing the final outcome of what you've done on a project, is seeing what it was, and then seeing the final product. Yeah, I mean, outside of that, I've learned a lot. Like, you learn, you might go in just doing coatings or whatever. I do a lot of waterproofing commercial buildings downtown and whatnot, and it's like you learn how to do different things in the trade. Yeah, whatever. I mean, yeah, or different trades even. Like you're doing things you're not normally used to doing, and coming up with ideas that you're like, well, how do I fix this? And then, mm-hmm. So you know, just like, yeah, you started off just painting houses or old houses, and, you know, doing commercial waterproofing. It's like, well, how do I fix this to make this not leak anymore? And mm-hmm. And you can't put concrete down because, you know, you got to paint it the next day or whatever. So then you use, you know, like
epoxy fillers, like heavy bodied epoxy fillers that you could deal with the next day or whatever. I mean, just I don't know, there's a million different ways to do things, I guess. And I guess that's kind of what you learn along the way is different techniques.
Yeah. And when each technique that you pick up, how do you go about learning them? Do you have like mentors that you like go to, or, you know, what is it like learning on the job?
I try not to learn on the job itself. Like if I'm not sure of something, I definitely, I mean, I guess that's the one thing if I go back, I would say to anybody is test something out. Like, if you're not sure of it, test it out on something that's not on the project itself, because that has bit me so many times in the past that, if you're not sure it's going to work, like if you put a coating on something and you're like, well, I don't know if it's going to stick, why are you putting it on there? Like, test it out, do a small sample of something and make sure it works before you do like a whole section or something like that along those lines. So that's my number one piece of advice, I guess, like make sure you do that before you do something big.
Yeah. Sometimes it may just not look the way that you envision it to look. It just may look different.
I've been down that road. I've had real big failures because of that. So it's, you learn.
Yeah, that's a really good statement to make. Now, Simo, with people that have structures or houses, buildings that have some deferred maintenance to them, why is it important to keep up on that maintenance?
I think any building owner knows that, I guess. It's, maintenance is always good. Preventative maintenance, being proactive, it always is. It just comes down to, I guess, just how much money somebody wants to spend on something to prevent damages from happening, I guess.
Yes. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about your career in historic preservation, being a painter and working on all these types of different structures, buildings, houses?
I do enjoy going to work every day, and keeps your mind off of things. I do like what I do. It's like if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing it right now. I'm just glad that all the people that have hired me keep hiring me to keep working for them, and thank you for all that.
Awesome. Good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing about your career and, you know, the behind the scenes stuff that goes on, because a lot of the times, you know, we see the final product, but it's hard to get the insights of, you know, how it comes to be. Thank you for tuning in today and listening to our conversation with Simo about his career in historic preservation. Stay tuned for more episodes of The Preservationist as we continue to explore the incredible work being done to preserve our history in the community. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month at 9:30 a.m. on KMUN. Thank you to my guests for the month, Simo Ranta, a local painter who works in historic preservation. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today about your career and the projects you've worked on. Thank you for tuning in to The Preservationist. I'd like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, the staff, volunteers, and members of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, LCPS. Thank you to my fellow board member, Eric Wheeler, for telling us about the January's LCPS Presents event. And thank you to Camilla Swerdloff for producing our theme song for The Preservationist. And thank you for listening to The Preservationist, and remember, anyone can be a preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society for KMUN, written and produced by Astronomus Ray. For more information about the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, be sure to check out our website at www.lcpsociety.org. Also, find us on Facebook at Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and also on Instagram at LCP Society. Thank you, and we hope that you tune into The Preservationist again next month. Until next time, I'm Astronomus Ray. Thank you for tuning in.